Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. We've been on a conversation and we've been talking about God's grace and power in our lives. God's grace and power in our lives, and how we can use the power of God, the grace and power of God also to overcome sin in our lives. Amen. We've been talking about how Jesus Christ came and how He died on the cross for us. And we said that it is true. We can talk about the forgiveness of sins, the fact that we have received pardon for our sins, past, present, future. We have received complete and total pardon for our sins. We have been also now saying that we must understand that in that pardon for sin, in that death of Jesus Christ, where we received pardon for sin, He also gave us power over sin. Come on, amen. He also gave us power over sin. And now we are alive to God. The very fact when we say that we are alive to God means that we are dead to sin. Right? And being alive to God means that we are responsive to God's love. We are responsive to God. And then when we say we are dead to sin, it means that we are no longer responsive to the sin nature that is in us. The sin nature has been totally taken away, has been dealt with. Right? That's what we've been trying to say. Now, through the course of these teachings, we've had various kind of just responses. And it has been a very great teaching. I'm so excited about doing it, because we have believers who are really born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and still have this struggle with the nature of sin. And they think that sometimes they just think that it is a victory they cannot get. They try to be victorious over sin. You know, you really, really try to be victorious over sin, and that is where the issue is. I've just come to say, you don't need to try to be victorious over sin. You need to understand that when Jesus Christ died, He died and gave you power also over sin. And so now you should use the power of God and respond to deal with sin by the power of the cross. Because we talk about the cross and the power of the cross in many directions, but when it comes to sin, it is as though that the cross does not do anything there. And a lot of believers, many believers are under the weight of sin, even though they are filled and empowered with the power of the Holy Spirit, even though they have received the life and nature of God inside of them. Amen. So in this conversation, dear Pastor Alex just messaged me through the last week and said, because I kept on saying now that we could use the way we use faith, the power of God in our lives against sickness, poverty, disease, and all that kind of things. We should stand again and use the same faith of the cross and say that there's no the nature of sin is dead in me. I am no longer responsive to sin by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and reject sin. And he said, when I said that last week, I started talking about the fact that we are alive to God and we are dead to sin. It means that we have been turned away from our sins. We are now face to face with God as our Father. And he said something, when he sent this message to me, I said, this is powerful and this is true. He said, what you have said is correct. It's simple to appreciate and to receive. But the issue is that when you say we should reject sickness and disease and poverty and those things, you see that we will stand in faith resisting them actively because they are against us, because they affect our productivity, because they affect our lives, our finances. We're really against us. But when it comes to sin, there is some pleasure in it. And really, I just thought I was hammering the thing like that. And when he said that, I said, "Oh, so it is now clear from that thought. We will see why the thing seems to be difficult. It is difficult not because it is the blood and power of Christ cannot overcome or help us to overcome sin. It's difficult because we like it, because there's some pleasure in it. There's some pleasure to be derived in sin. But in sickness, there's no pleasure. There's no pleasure to be derived. So I will actively use my faith to fight sickness. I will actively use my faith to fight diseases. I'll actively use my faith to fight poverty. I will reject it. I will speak the word. I will close my eyes. I will pray and I will shout. But now, pastor is saying, use that same faith to reject and say, no, I've been turned away from my sins. Sin has no more dominion over me. I died with Christ. I rose up again with him. I have the newness of life in Christ with me. And I'm going to do all that. And I'm going to miss the pleasure of this sin. Do I really want to do that? So it's easy to, now when I'm talking about sin, I know that I'm talking to young people, even in my context, you know, Pastor Alex sent me that, I talked about, I said, but that's powerful truth I never even thought about to help you. But if you are struggling, and Pastor Faith was talking to me, because my examples are always in the line of maybe sexual immorality, lust, pornography, alcoholism, and all those kind of things. She also said, you know, if a Christian will be comfortable to allow anger flow through him, and that outburst of anger, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? Are you stupid? And do all that, and you enjoy that power over insulting somebody else, and that thing is grievous to God, right? That is self there. And so when I'm talking about sin in the flesh, I'm talking about that kind of thing also. So don't just limit it there, because my examples were somehow limited. As the case is, there's that sudden outburst there, and it's somehow sweet when you can just be angry without any restraint and just say all manner of things and just come out. And so when we say that we should use the grace and power of God against these things that are grievous and do not highlight the nature, do not bring forth the nature of God in our spirits, we somehow think that it is not, there's no pleasure there. There's pleasure there rather. And so, there's no gain there if I fight this sin. But I want to say this in before I begin to again look at scriptures, that sin would corrode your faith. It will corrode your faith. It will begin to eat it up gradually, and it eats up your faith and reduces the power of your faith to deal with Satan. Now, so if you allow that nature to continue to thrive within you, I chose the word corrode because it will continue to eat it up gradually. It will eat up your faith, and then when you stand against the devil and you want to use that faith, you find that it has been weakened by sin. That's what it does. So it's not going to mean that you are not a child of God. I have not said that. It doesn't mean that God now is angry. I have not said that. Nothing happens. He has forgiven you totally for everything. You are a child of God. You are not just the price. I like to do that price thing. He paid a price I could not pay. The price was paid. Now after the price was paid, he didn't just leave you to be roaming as a free agent too. He now brought you home as his son. He adopted you. He doesn't go back on adoption. He doesn't go back on adoption. He saw you. He knew you before he adopted you. Right? He said, this is how you are. I know. Now, I'm not only just going to pay the price for you. I'm also going to adopt you. And now you are my son. So we are now children of God. That is established. I'm saying now, as children of God, we must now live up, use the nature of God within us to destroy that sin that is still in our members. Right? We're supposed to stand. Because in Christianity, In Christianity, if you've been a Christian for some time, you will know the power of God in your spirit. We talk about the power of God in our spirit. We talk about Zoe. We say that everything that was done for us was done in our spirits. Right? Was done in our spirit. But I have taught you, and this teaching is important. I'm like this because I don't want to miss anybody. People have been missing me about this, my conversation. And I'm not in any way feeling off about it. I'm even tempted to go on about it, as the case is. I just hope I can exhaust my thoughts today. If I can't, fine. If I cannot, we'll continue again. I'm not going to stop. Because I've been pastoring 16, 17 years now. I've met many believers, feel the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, do all manner of things, even leaders in church, doing everything, and then they are still under the power of that sin nature. Then it eats up and eats up, and it just keeps on damaging their lives. You get somebody, walk, stand up, walk away. Walk away from Christian leadership. Why? Because the thing was busy eating that person up, and he did not know how to deal with it. I'm not talking about sin, I'm talking about how to deal with it. And that's the beautiful thing of my conversation for the past few hours. I've been saying that Jesus Christ took away sin, that now you can deal with it by bringing Christ to the fore, by saying Jesus Christ died and he took away sickness. Like we say, he took away disease, took away poverty, he also took away sin. So this sin, this thing in me, die in the name of Jesus Christ. You have victory over sin. You are not left to deal with it by yourself. So if you are struggling there and you are hiding there and there's this thing eating you up there, you are not supposed to deal with it by yourself. You use his death also to deal with that thing there. Unless, like Pastor Alex has told us, that there seems to be some pleasure in it. Yes, I agree. When you allow the sin nature to flow freely, where you can just maybe insult a subordinate and you are free because you are the boss, you just do that. You allow that sin nature to flow at that point in time. That nature in you that cannot, no patience, no gentleness, long suffering, the fruit of the Spirit, you don't allow it to flow. Instead, you allow the nature to flow freely. There seems to be pleasure and power in it, but that thing is not enjoyable. You go back and you the Spirit of God somehow inside of you just rings off, and then you now say, okay, from now I'm going to be calm. I'm saying that I'm trying to give you a way to deal with it. I'm trying to say, no, reject that thing and say, you don't even have to try. When he died and took away sickness, he died and took away that nature also. So use the death of Jesus Christ. That's what I have been trying to say. The power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, right, you see, we talk about that and we see it as if it ends there. It doesn't end inside of us. It's actually supposed to move from our spirit to our minds, right? Our minds, where we are thinking like Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Then we are thinking like Christ. And it moves from our minds, it moves into our bodies, where we now have that holy body also, our members also, as instruments to righteousness. That my mouth is an instrument to righteousness. I'm not going to allow those filthy communication to flow out of my mouth. And how am I going to do that? I'm going to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in my spirit. It's not coming. God is not going to do something else. He has deposited in my spirit his power that gives me the ability to do anything. And so it crosses through my mind. As I think about some thoughts, I think about God's thoughts. I have the mind of Christ. Remember when I did a discussion on the mind, I told you, I said many believers, they don't want the devil in their lives. Remember that statement, very powerful statement. But they don't mind to have him in their minds. You don't want to see him around you, but you don't mind him in your head. And when it's in your head, guess what? He will manifest very soon in your life. And so the life of God, the life and nature of God in our spirits should also flow in through into our minds, and then it's from our minds, and really the connection between the mind and the body is one. The mind is very powerful. It is with the mind I serve the law of God, or with the mind I serve the law of sin. And sometimes we don't understand that. So I want to see if I can do some work in that direction today. Now, with the Spirit of God, because of the Spirit of God, we now have access and connection to God. That's what I've been telling you. We now have access and connection to God. We are now alive to God. Now we are dead to sin. We are dead to sin, right? And so through sin, Satan got to man and could hold man, could oppress man, as the case is. I said it was because of sin, and it's very powerful and very easy if you consider Genesis chapter 3, how that Satan came to talk to Eve but could do nothing to her. Satan could not bring poverty, he could not bring disease, he could not bring all the things of death unto Eve. He was with them, he was there, but he couldn't do anything. Satan was in the world before sin came into the world. So you see that he could have been in the world and had no power. Right? And so the only way he could now bring death into the world was to ensure that man lost the living relationship, the living union with God. He lost that living union with God in and because of, please, I'm using the word sin, but it's interesting that the Bible replaces the word in Romans chapter number 5, replaces the word sin with disobedience. Just understand that. And so, in that disobedience there, where a self, where human self, sin, self, and Satan, there are all three different things, where self rose up. When self rose up, I will be like God. I will, my eyes will be open. Me, apart from God, man willfully separated himself from God. Said, I want to have the power in myself. When self came up, self is now the thing that now caused the problem there. Because God cannot rule where self is ruling. Where I rule, I decide what I want. I will do this thing even though you said not to do it. And so self came to life. Immediately self came up to life, then Satan now had the power because he can dominate self, the man. He couldn't dominate the man who was in vital union with God. But he can dominate the man who was by himself. So he will not. So when he brought that disobedience there, he could now dominate the man. He could do what he wanted to do. So when Jesus Christ came and when he died, and that's why the Bible kept on telling us over and over and over again that he came to as the Lamb of God and took away our sin. That disobedience there, that thing, that enmity, that nature inside of man, that causes self to just wrong. He does what he wants to do. He knows that these things are not supposed to be, but he will do it anyway. So Jesus Christ came and died and then restored us back. In his death, I'm going over it again slowly to bring you to a point. In his death, he brought us back in connection to God. That's what I'm trying to say. We are alive to God. Now he can respond to us and we can respond back to him. Right? He has done that for us, restored that. So now again, then in his death, we know this very truth that we are free. That God no longer holds anything against us. When he looks at us, guess what? He's seen Jesus Christ. He's seen the blood of Jesus and said, oh, the thing that made me not really have relationship with these people has been dealt with. So now they are now my sons. The Bible says, now are we the sons of God. You know, I told you another beautiful scripture where it says, what manner of love is this? That the Father has given to us, that we should be called what? The sons of God. So now we are sons of God. Done and by the Father. So Father, Son of God. When he says that we are now sons of God, he didn't say we are sons of the Father, we are sons of God. That brings us to a place of power. In sonship, if we were sons of the Father, we would have an issue there. But we are now sons of God. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us? The Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called what? Not sons of the Father, but sons of God. He redirected our nature now under his Godship, not just under his fatherhood. So our nature is changed. So that's why we're not talking about our spirit and we're not talking about Zoe. The very life and nature of God inside of us, that is the dominating life. It can do anything. Behold, what manner of love is this that the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God? Remember that the Father is God. Yes, sir. But he could not say we are not sons of the Great Father. We are now sons of, he goes to use the other title, God, authority and power. That authority and power, that dominion there, it now gives us the ability to live. You see where the power to live above sin comes from. Now, I love, can you get me that book? Get me the book on my table. I want to read it. Please, get it to me. Get it for me. John G. Lake, bring it. So now, with that power inside of us, we must recognize the use of Zoe. I'm saying now that if you are here and or you joined us and then there's this struggle, there's masturbation, there's lust, it's there, it's in the mind. And you say, it's in my head. No, I'm telling you, you will purge it. You can purge it, not by your self-will. Self can never do it. If you try with self, it won't work. You will try. But when you stand on the victory of the cross and say, when did Jesus Christ died? I died with him. So he took this thing and he destroyed it. When I rose up again to newness of life, And there, I want to read something for you. And so now, I have the life and nature of God inside of me. So this thing, this urge, this thing in my mind, it cannot be there. It's not there. Now, I hope that with what he said to me and what I've so said told you, that you will totally begin to hate sin. It has to come from, we have to hate it. We have to know that it affects, it corrodes our faith. It begins to limit our faith. You cannot, I'm not talking about sinning. I'm talking about living in sin. I'm talking about enjoying it. I'm talking about enjoying the oneness, enjoying the union again with sin. When you have a union with God, you can enjoy it. Don't let it stay there. Are you here? By the power of God, as far as you don't enjoy it, like he has said now, you don't have pleasure in it. Because he said, if you talk about poverty, it affects the man. He wants to buy things, he wants to do this. So he was saying, the name of Jesus, he rejected. If you talk about sickness, he's sick in his body, he can't move in the hospital and all that. He's going to spend money. He says, no. He wants to learn about the power of God to fight that. He said, Pastor, but when you have been talking to us about sin, he said, the thing is that many people will not take what you are saying because they have pleasure there. They have pleasure there. There's pleasure there. There's pleasure. And I said, yes, it's true. There's pleasure in sin. But in that pleasure, nobody can hang around with the devil. Can you understand? So hate it. Don't say there's pleasure. You are saying that pleasure there, you say it's pleasure. He will get so close to you and then he will harm you. He will harm you. Say, I'm eating with the devil with a long spoon. If you eat with the devil with a long spoon, the spoon will be getting shorter and shorter. You won't know. See, you are face to face with him and very close to him. You won't know. And then you'll get to, and then people will say, How did this thing happen? Because you were not actively resisting him. You were eating with him and say, nothing happened. I ate one spoon, nothing happened. I did this, nothing happened. Something is happening. It's corroding your faith and eroding your faith. And then there's almost no faith there to now begin to resist him. After all, now me and you, they eat yesterday. Why are you going to shout now? So you don't have the faith to resist him. So believers don't have that power. They're not looking as though there is really no power, but there's really so much power. So much power in our spirit, but we've not used it. We've been company with him, and then now you want to now shout up, we shout and start. Why? When he's saying why, you should be able to shout and say Jesus. So I'm not joking. No matter what you do, you can come out. You know that's what is taught. You can come out of anything, no matter how bad sin it is, and say the name of Jesus. But would you have the confidence to use it? That's the problem. It's not as if you cannot say it, but would you have the confidence to use it? Are you here? I want to read a portion for you. I wanted to just highlight it, but let me read a portion for you from a dear man of God, John G. Lake. He says something. He says something about. Let me read it. I'll just read so that I'm going to read what I marked. So that I didn't plan to do this, but I just felt, let me do it for you. I just. Beloved, in our home, in our life, in our office, wherever we are, we have the impression of our thoughts. We leave the impression of our thoughts there. If your thoughts are pure and holy, like Christ, people will walk into that atmosphere and instantly discover it. It's almost too high. It's too that thing is too high for a new creation reality. It's too high. Say, really? Are you me? But we are talking about Zoe. We're talking about the Spirit of God inside of me. We are speaking in tongues. Now, Pakata, where is it coming from? It's coming from the Holy Spirit inside of you. But now I'm telling you that your thoughts can. John Jesus is telling us that our thoughts can leave an impression in a room, that somebody can come and say, this place is holy. Because of your thought, you are saying that is too much. How do you not get Holy Spirit inside of you? That's not too much. We should appreciate this. We should receive all these things. Soak them in and receive this. And say, boy, you can be in a place and just because of you. There's an atmosphere in that place because your thoughts are pure. If there is any particular place in our lives where, as a rule, Christians are weak, it is in the consecration of their minds. Christians seem to feel as if they were not to exercise any control over the mind. And so it seems to run at random, just like the mind of the world. You see, we don't control our mind. You say, this thing is in my mind. What do you mean? You shouldn't be you can exercise control over your mind and over your thoughts. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. You can say, I'm not thinking on these things, I'm thinking on these things. You have that power. If that thought comes to your mind, I'm not thinking about it. Come on, I mean, if you're a guy here, you now say, I walk on the street, you see that girl, say, I see girls too, but I say, no, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are good report, you keep that scripture there and say, no, I can't think on this, I can't allow these thoughts to stay in my mind. I reject this thing and I stand and I must keep my thoughts pure. If you don't keep your thoughts pure, it will get into your body. Before long, you are doing something for me. You must fight to keep your thoughts pure. I fight. I use scripture. I stand on the word of God. Jesus Christ, those thoughts are just useless. Where does it lead to? It leads to darkness and leads to death. Do I want death in my life? No. So there's no point. I'm not going to take that thought. You know what I want to see in my life? I want to see the life of God inside of me. I want to see the life of God at work in my life. And I want it to not just be in my life. My goal for the life of God in my life is for it to flow through my life. I want to be able to talk to somebody, and as I'm talking to somebody, and I'm talking to you about Jesus and the power of God, and I just say, God really loves you. I want the love of God to be something so real, it will wash over the person, and the person just feels, you say, that touch was just, it was as if God touched me, something broke in me. Don't you want that? That's not a pastoral something, that's for every believer. That's how we change this world. That's how we change this world. That's the only way we change this world. We won't change this world by having this thing, the power of God in our spirit. It won't be. It won't change. It won't work. We have it in our spirit already. Then go out there. But it has to flow from our spirit and to our minds and to our bodies. Real Christianity is marked by the pureness. It's marked by the pureness. By the holiness of the thoughts of man. And if Christianity, the kind you have, does not produce in your mind real holiness, real purity, real sweetness, real truth, then it's a poor brand. Change it right away. I'll move to something else like this. Beloved, we are going to step further. The effect of a pure mind on the body of a man and in the flesh of man. The effect of a pure mind. We're going to step further. He's talking about the effect of the mind. No, because if I talk about the effect of the power of God in your spirit, I think that matter is, that part is settled. My spirit is new and alive to God. Spirit. We all are self-spirit. But what about our mind? What about our bodies? No, bodies can continue doing whatever it likes. That's not so. The spirit will move through our minds, seize our minds. We are thinking like Christ, we are talking like Christ, and then it enters into our bodies, and our bodies are now they become instruments of righteousness. My hands and feet, they are instruments of righteousness. My eyes are instruments of righteousness. I should look into the soul of a person and say, Jesus loves you, and he sees righteousness, sees the power of God through my eyes. Those are not the eyes for loss. These are the eyes as instruments of righteousness. Our bodies. And where is it coming from? Because the man is strong. No, it's coming from the spirit. From the depth of the spirit is walking out into the man. Beloved, we are going a step further. The effect of a pure mind on the body. The effect of a pure mind on the body. You know, we talk about, are you still here? I'm going to show you. We talk about the fact, even science, you know, science have come to the fact that they say there are some sicknesses that are caused by the mind. Bitterness, anger. They'll tell you that's what's causing the ulcer. That's what's causing the... And it's true. When the... there's this thing I used to say. There's this thing I used to say a lot. I can't remember the line right now. But it says something like... when the mind is broken, the body cries. Something like that. There's a connection between the mind and the body. Once the mind is broken, the body is shouting, the body is crying. Because there's a connection there. So when we have successfully used the power of God, and the cross of Christ upon our minds, we'll be able to get it to our bodies, right? You know that the sins of vileness in man's lives originate in the mind. A man's life will be of the character of his thoughts. If he thinks evil, he will be evil. If he thinks holy, he will be holy. His outward life will be as the inner impulse. Jesus said, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. That's in Mark 7:21-23. So it is from inside that it comes out. So our minds are very important. Now I want to move further to something powerful. I'm going to read 2-3 more passages before I move on. Isn't it marvelous? Beautiful. Wonderful. To realize that mankind can receive in their nature and being the power and spirit of the living Christ, which contains the purging power to drive forth from the being every particle of evil. I'll read that again. I want to read that again. You get the concept. He says, is it not marvelous? Right? Is it not beautiful? Is it not wonderful that to realize that mankind now, ordinary man, can receive into their nature the life of God? That's what he's talking about. Into their nature and being the power and spirit of living Christ. That's the life of God. The spirit of Christ. Inside of the man now. Which contains, what does it contain? What does your Zoe contain? It's giving us an idea of what it contains. It contains the purging power to drive forth from that human being every particle of evil, every sensuous thing in the thoughts and nature, so that the man becomes what Jesus was. The goal of the life of God in us was to make us become exactly what Jesus was on earth. And now we have the ability to receive that power. You know why we have the ability to receive that power now? Because we are sons of God. I'm a son of God. It means God's nature, God's DNA. God's DNA. Like, you know, these things are things that have been said for years. God's DNA, God's nature is inside you. So that God's DNA, what should it do? Pastor, I'm trying. No, don't try. That DNA, just remember you have that thing and use it. Alas, I have to come back to his point again. Unless you want to. Let me finish reading, then I'll say some things again. I wrote some things down also. Beloved. Okay. I'm going to do that. Isn't it marvelous, beautiful, wonderful to realize that mankind can receive into their nature and being the power and spirit of the living Christ, which contains the purging power to drive forth from the human being every particle of evil, every sensuous thought, thing in the thoughts and nature, so that the man becomes what Jesus was. That is what the blood of Jesus Christ is calculated to do. When we talk about the blood, what do you talk about? That's my issue. That's what I've been trying to teach, and that's why people have been funny. I've been saying that you talk about the blood, use it also in this direction. You plead the blood when you're on a journey, because you believe that the blood will protect you. We cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus and say no evil will now come to us. Now, that blood also, can you just use it also against sickness, against sin rather, and say the blood of Jesus Christ hinders me, it stops me, it works in me so that I'm not able to live in sin. The blood. Why don't we use the blood for that? That's not the purpose of the blood. No, his blood is what actually washed us. It was because his blood washed us that we became clean, that we could not even, funnily, you know that in my teachings and in my teachings and as I have taught you, I do not find a biblical stand for playing the blood of Jesus Christ on the road and on the car. There's no biblical stand for that. That is the truth. There's no way it is in the Bible. The Bible talks about the blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. The blood, if you consider the blood, I don't have time for that. Let me say it. I can't go further, but you have to take what I say and go. If you consider the blood, when you take the blood, when the high priest took the blood, he didn't take the blood on this direction. He took the blood to God. It is used in this direction, not in that direction. Actually, if the blood, if talking about use of the blood, it's not used in the road and on the car, tire, and engine. It's actually used in the presence of God. That's the truth. That's where you're using. When there's judgment, it says without that shedding of blood, right, there's no remission of sin. So it is in judgment you take the blood and say, this is the blood. I am standing. The reason why we can call God our Father is because we are standing on the blood. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us access to do that. It's blood. That's what blood is used for, not for road and tire and engine. When we can't do it with the right thing, we quickly go and use it for the other thing there. That is what the blood of Jesus Christ calculated to do. That is what the spirit. You can't find a scripture where apostle Paul plead blood on road. You can't find a scripture when you now, if you consider that, you now take, you leave that, you now go to the high priest and how he uses the blood. He doesn't take the blood of the heifer and bulls and other and goes to the road and start spraying the blood on the road. He doesn't do that. So you don't find that. That's not simple. You say Paul didn't do it, but go to the hotel. If you go to the hotel, they might spill it on. They never just pour blood on things like that. That was not the idea. When they split, put the blood there, they put a mark on the person with the blood. That mark of the blood on the person, what does it do? He sprinkles them, puts the blood on them. Now, when the blood is sprinkled on them, guess what they become? In your Bible, they become pure. Become pure. Clean. As the case is. Beloved, the inflow of life. Beloved, the inflow of holy life into our bodies must produce holiness in the body, just as it does in the soul. So the inflow of holy life got into your spirit and your spirit became alive. The inflow of holy life got into your mind, your soul, and guess what? Your will, your mind, and your emotions, they are alive. Right? Then the inflow of the hard holy life into your body, what? Produces what in your body? It is that holiness, brothers and sisters, it is that holiness, it is that life that actually fights sin away from the body. And sickness also. We cannot even think beautiful thoughts, we cannot think holy thoughts, without them leaving their impression in our nature, in our very flesh. If your thoughts are pure and holy, guess what? It will leave its impressions in your body. Are you in church?
Yes, sir.
Only some people in church. So, I want to read some more passages. I think I'm done. Just read. I think it's done. That is why Jesus was the wonderful channel he was. The Spirit of God would flow through him just as freely, just as fully, just as powerfully as it was possible for it to flow through a holy, purified personality. I like to contemplate the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and think of the radiant glory that came through his flesh. Not just the illumination of his spirit, because we always stop at the spirit, illumination of the spirit, but the holy glory emanating through his flesh until he became white and glistening. Until his clothes were white and his face shone as the light. It is that radiant purity of God that my soul covets. It is that radiant power evidenced in the pureness of my spirit, my mind, my very flesh that I long for. There's that radiant power. I read from Living in God's Power, John G. Lake. Very powerful book. There's that power that flows from our spirits and flows into our mind and flows into our bodies. And it is coming from the Spirit of God that you already have, the nature of God that is already inside of you, that we have already accepted and we have received. So don't struggle. Stop the struggle. Amen?
Amen.
If we can shout freely that we are alive to God, you must understand that no woman can marry two husbands. Right? If we are alive to God, it means that we are dead to sin. That's why I put that thing there. Dead to sin is alive to God. Alive to God is dead to sin. If we are dead to sin, then where is the sin in your body? It cannot be there. Right? So let me do some work from where we left off in Romans chapter number 6. Paul guides us to how we would, in my Bible, the head in there is dead to sin, alive to God. Alive to Christ. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
So, from verse number 1, Paul says that shall we continue in sin? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? His next verse. His answer to that is, God forbid. Right? It is important that we see that he doesn't say we should continue in sin, that there is grace to do it. And he doesn't say we should not try. Paul doesn't say try, you will fight it and you will win. He doesn't say that. He says in his thoughts, he says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? So he said that it is first of all actually an impossibility. So when I teach grace and talk about the fact that sin is nonsense, sin has been dealt with, and sin is no longer a problem, you can stand before God no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how you have been, you can come and stand before God and then you can relate with God because sin has been dealt with. We must go further. Come on, say go further. I'm not going to teach you to be popular. I'm going to teach you the word of God. In that, immediately we teach that. That is where we get Romans chapter 5 from verse number 20 something down. He's talking about the fact that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. He says that, and then we now say yes, and then we jump, and then we teach, and then we say the believers are free. Right? And so unconsciously, we could immediately teach a believer and say something that means that he can go out, sin, do whatever he likes, and then there's grace, and come back and say, Father, kalibo soprondo kolebaya. Say, okay, it's okay. Then he can continue like that. Paul's argument flows continuously. He now says, so what I have taught just now, when I say you are totally free from sin, he wants to give us another light. The believer that has been free from sin has also been empowered to live above sin. Do we get that? I think if you respond that as powerful, I'm happy. Because we talk about being free from sin, the penalty of sin. We have a pardon now. No more penalty for sin. Nothing will happen. There's no penalty for sin. Before God, you are free, complete from now to forever. He now says, stop. So that is the next thing we must teach. That is the next thing we must teach. We must now teach this next thought. The next thought is, how is it even possible? Because Paul says, how shall we? He asks a question like, you should know that now. How shall we who are dead to sin? When he freed us from the penalty of sin, he also freed us from the connection, the power of sin. Now we are now dead to sin. He said, how shall we even live any longer in it? It's not even possible. So it is from here, from this verse 2. Are you in church? So it is from this verse 2. He now begins to explain what he means, this question. He will now answer the question by himself. Because he says in chapter 5, 25, thereabout, he says, where sin abounds, grace abounds no more. Sin is useless. Sin has been dealt with. Jesus Christ died on the cross. For weeks I have been laboring, God knows, to show you that in that death on the cross, we have the pardon for sin and we have the power over sin. Because the nature of sin totally destroyed. In doing that, he destroyed the flow of Satan into our lives. Right? So, that thing there, he comes to the place where he now says, alright, so to believers now that I have taught grace very well, because I think I have taught grace very well. So, your thought should not be, so pastor, should I say that you continue sinning? Then I'll be like I was born. I ask you, you don't know. When he forgave you of your sins, he also destroyed the nature of sin totally in you. You are even dead to it. You cannot even sin. You cannot even sin. That's what it means to be dead to sin. That's what it means. You are dead to it. It means if sin comes to you, you don't say, I don't die. I don't have business with you. Right? So he's saying that even if sin comes, normally, if sin comes, you are dead to it. That is how our response should be now. So the believer who has been totally forgiven has been also totally empowered. So don't struggle. That would have been preaching. Don't struggle. Don't say, pastor, I'm trying. Don't try. Stop trying. Say, I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. Sin. So he says, how can we not live any longer in it? We cannot live any longer there. Next verse. Know ye not that so many of us, as we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into his death. Right? Into his death. Next verse. Therefore, you see, just be following a simple line. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into what? Death. That, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should what? Walk in newness of life. Right? Next verse. Because I want to go further, we can read it. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, he's still trying to help us. Because if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If the guy that died rose up again, so if you died to sin, you rose up again. This alive to God means that you died. You cannot be alive to God without dying. You must have died. That's how the only way you can be alive to God. He's trying to say how you were dead to sin. You died to sin in the body of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, you too died to sin there. When Jesus Christ rose up again and have newness of life, that newness of life is what's now inside of you. That is Zoe you are shouting about. He said, before you can even shout Zoe, life of God inside of me, you must have died to sin already. That's the only way. Next verse. Knowing this, that our old man, come on, our old man is what? Crucified with him. That the body of sin might be what? The body of sin might be destroyed. The reason why he went to the cross and died, you know that he did not do a renovation. I've always told people that thing. When I taught you about salvation and all that, I told you, I said he didn't come and wash that man. He came to kill that man. He killed the man entirely. Because if you try to renovate the man, it won't work. The man will somehow be there again. So he just killed the man. That's why he had to go to the cross and die. So he said the body of sin, he knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin, the sin nature, might be what? Destroyed. That henceforth we should not what? We should not. Henceforth, from now, because he died. So you are standing on Romans chapter 6. Come on, are you in church?
Yes,
sir. You say he's a boring preacher. Boring word of God is very powerful for your life.
Yes, sir.
I don't try to excite people. If you can get the word of God, you can begin to live a true and powerful Christian life. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. I went somewhere and I preached, and they said I quoted so many scriptures. It is the only thing a pastor should do is quote scriptures. If I speak outside of scripture, it's just waste of money. I'm just talking myself. I said I read too much Bible, turn here. The turn here I said was too much. And now I'm reading almost a whole chapter. I mean, somebody can just be angry that he's reading a whole chapter of the Bible. Can I not read Bible in my house? What should we come and do? Add drama and do things. We have large churches everywhere. But we don't see the power of it. We don't see it. We're not seeing the life. It's painful. It's really painful. I had somebody tell me about going to a place. And she got there, it's youth service. Let me just make it clear. Youth service. And she got there, and there's this church. Everywhere. They're everywhere, globally. So it's not, I'm not talking about where they're just trying. And she got there because I associate with this believer. And when she got there, the guy that the brother said, it's nice, we like you, it's good you're around. And I said, see, here, don't be bothered, though. Here, we all sleep with each other. Real life, face to face. I'm not joking. I know that you might say that that's too far. I know the person to know. He said, we're just normal. We just, our brothers and sisters here, so it's normal. So if a brother, that's just normal here. In the place, globally, I mean, they have everywhere. There's no, I don't think there'll be a place they are not there in church. And he said that, and he said, seriously? And say, from that day, I never went to that place. Sure, I went to, now went to a convert, another church and all that. The thing is, when you hear something like that, I don't know what it does. I'm not trying to be against or anything or whatever. But when we don't teach people and they don't grow in Jesus Christ, we have a lot of problems. So that's a problem. I mean, how can somebody say that? And this is the leader. I said, no, it's normal. You know, I like you. I can sleep with you. And then just here, we're brothers and sisters. We are one. There's a oneness here that. So it just happens like, and yeah, I mean, this person is telling me, not somebody told me that, not told somebody. I mean, I know the person, I tell you, and all that. Like, seriously? He said, I can't believe. And that's where I go home, that's where I attend home. So I just thought that the same thing. I said, no, not, I have to run. Never went there again. That's the whole church. And I mean, large sized, filled up stuff, and all that kind of stuff. So it's something real. Something real. We have to take the cross of Jesus Christ and apply it to our lives. Now, are they saved? Fully saved. Filled with the Holy Ghost, they pray in tongues. Probably even finer than me. But there are tongues that are very sweet and interesting. But we can't touch the world like that. We will not make an impression on the world like that. That's just the truth. So much negative reactions from my teachings. So much. And I sat in the office just now praying, and I was praying and preparing to come again to chair. And the thought is, Pastor Ralph, why don't you just dial this thing down? Do you have to do this? You don't have to do this. You can teach anything. I mean, there are notes, you can do anything. Just end this thing, forget about it, never mention it again, and you can get people. What do I want to do with the people? What would I do with them? If I'm not bringing in life and nature of God to them, then what am I doing with them? I don't need that. That's the truth. I don't need that. I don't need that. And get the people, it's probably easier. Just bringing it to the surface and telling that we have to use the cross of Christ is problem. Because some people just want to associate with you. If you just say, there's power in the name of Jesus, say, yes, sir. Say, when you say in the name of Jesus, all knees bowed, Satan bowed, say, yes, sir. You say, see, you have to reveal your sin. I don't want to hear that. I don't hear that. And you know what I'm talking about. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin, I debated to say that or not say that, but to tell you the power of the truth of what I'm telling you now, that's why I said what I said. I'm not against anybody. And that's just one fragment. That's just one young man leading the people and then off about it somehow. You get way up there, I'm positive, 100% positive, that the man who is building that work is building with purity and power. That's just the truth. But sometimes people take the teaching and just run with it and do a manner of nonsense. So it's somebody I honor, it's a place I honor, it'll be an honor to even be there. Just that sometimes believers don't get it right. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is what? Is clear, is free. Somebody said, but it's still there. The Bible says you are what? Free. The way we take every scripture and use it like that, dead to now say, Bible says he that is dead is, did you die? Yes, I died in Christ. So why is this thing dead? He will still come and try and put that thing there. You say, no, I'm dead to sin. I'm freed from sin. The law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and the law of death. It doesn't work. It can't work. Death does not have any part in me. The law of death is gone. The law of sin is what? Gone. It won't work. The sin in my nature won't work. Death that is around the body will not work. They are both gone. I've been free from the law of sin and the law of death. You stand your ground. Sin, the law of sin that you must continue in this direction, there's no way you can, it's a lie. It will not, I'm free. The law of death that this thing must catch you. No, there's death everywhere around the world and there's no way you can escape. He says no. It is evident. I think it's something you can Google. I don't know if it's there, but it should be there online. It is this same John G. Lake. They put this plague on his body, on his hand. He said, come and see. He put it under the microscope. He said they are dying right there on his skin. It is a, there's a height, there's a desire to get to. It's there. It's everywhere. I think I've seen it in several places there. He says, see, let me show you. He said, you're not wearing mask. They're not wearing masks. You're not covering your body. How you might? He says, no, I don't have that. That thing cannot work. He said, let me show you. Take the thing from the man. He put the thing from it. Somebody that is actively infected, rub the thing on his hand. He said, take the microscope and look at it. They were actively dying on his skin. Real. Real. There's a passion. There's a place you get to. The life and nature of God, of Jesus Christ, that we have inside of our spirit, can come outside and can radiate there. It's real. It's real. So that same body is alive to God and is free from sin. If you allow that life to get to the body, it will work like that. Next verse. Or should we, can we go back? Seven. No, seven. No, I mean God. For he that is dead is what? Is freed from sin. Can we say that again all together? One, two, go. Can you say the verse, the Bible verse? Say the Bible verse. Say. Right, can you say it again? I believe God that by virtue of this teaching, By virtue of this teaching, I'm telling you now what I have prayed and what I believe and what I am seeing now in the spirit. I'm telling you, I'm prophesying this thing now because it is what I have prayed and taught now. That as you are hearing this word, sitting under this teaching, the nature of sin that has still been thriving somewhere in you, that it is just dying and going away. Dying seriously. I mean, it's suffering right now. And the life of God is dominating your spirit, in your body. Amen. Next verse. You will find that you are not able to masturbate. You will not even be able to. This thing I'm saying, it's entering your head, right? And you will not even be able to. I mean, I'm not saying any struggle. It will just be there. You will find that the thing is not there, but the Holy Spirit will take these words. He will use them inside of you. You will never be able to. You will never be able to. Now, I'm telling you what I mean. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. You know that all this conversation is coming from that question in verse number 2. That's now he's trying to explain it. It comes from different angles. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Next verse. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, he died no more. Death had no more dominion over him. Death had no more dominion over him. Don't forget that. Next verse. Don't worry. For in that he died unto sin. And you see sin now. I told you, if you want to really read the Bible, you will see sin everywhere. Everywhere. In that he died. With the way we did this thing, the way we have done this thing, it's not good. I'm not joking. I mean, I've repented before God. I'm not joking. I'm not joking before you. I know what I did. You have to have a relationship with God. We've taught everything and we'll talk about everything, but we don't talk about him that he died unto what? Unto sin. It's the real problem. The real problem is that thing. Satan is running up and down. Satan is nothing. He's useless. He can't do anything. He doesn't do jack. He didn't come to deal him and come and face Satan. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. But in that he liveth unto God. Right? So he died unto sin, he liveth unto God. Are you seeing death to sin again? Death to sin, death to sin, death to sin, alive unto God. Next verse. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You see that now? Likewise, reckon yourselves to also be what? Dead unto sin. But what? Alive unto God. How? How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is powerful. You are alive to God through Jesus Christ our God. And you are dead to sin. So somewhere before you, when you are shouting, I'm alive to God, I'm responsive to God. My spirit is responsive to the Spirit of God. You must also know, for that to happen, it means that you are dead to sin. Sin has no more dominion over you. Sin cannot even allow you, cannot even call you. Because my ears cannot even hear it when it's calling. Because I'm dead to it. That's the only way the two things can't coexist together. So if you stand with me, anybody, anywhere, and say, Pastor, I'm alive to God, don't bother asking. I agree with you. I'm in 100% agreement. You are alive to God. Let me tell you the truth. You are dead to sin.
Amen.
So I could equally remove alive to God. I told myself, if I remove alive to God and say, you are dead to sin, people will be angry with me. So I decided to put alive to God there. Because we always like to say, like to be positive. Alive to God, you are alive to God. Why would not in the same sentence say you are dead to sin? Why? If Paul said it, why would I not say it? In fact, if I just say you are dead to sin, you not say, so if I'm dead to sin, sin no longer reigns in me, what now reigns in me? It's either this or this. Reckon you also yourselves. Come on, reckon. Reckon yourselves. Reckon yourselves. Can you reckon? Think, calculate it. Reckon yourself also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. All these things happened through Jesus Christ. Isn't Jesus beautiful? Say, so Jesus died, I don't have car. Jesus died, I'm not married yet, I'm 45. Jesus died, I don't. Jesus died, I've not built my house. I don't understand. I don't understand. All of us will not be billionaires in dollars. Jesus died, we are all billionaires in dollars. I mean, really? You don't even need Jesus' death for that one. I'm not joking. That's the truth. You don't need that. Somebody comes to a dear man of God, comes to a dear man of God and says that, I'm having problems. I'm having problems in my life, my marriage, this, that, and all that. My marriage is rocking. I'm considering a fourth divorce. He says, all right. You know, you want to start to walk with that person. And he says, all right, are you saved? He said, no, I'm not saved. But I'm not talking about salvation here. I want to get my marriage to work. Please, is there anything you can do? My husband can come. We can talk. I don't want this divorce. No, but are you saved? Is salvation Jesus Christ? He says she's not. I'm not talking about that. I don't need that. You see the problem. You even believe the man through Jesus can do many things, heal your marriage, bring it together, but salvation is pointless. We take that part of the cross, that part of what he has done for us, as nothing. And so, like I said, we really can't worship Jesus. We really can't appreciate him for what he has done. It is because of him that we are alive to God. It is because of him that we have his place with God for eternity. Because of Jesus Christ. Eternity is forever and ever and ever. No matter how long you live here, by 80, you can't even eat turkey. If I fry turkey and give it to you, eat one, you won't be able to eat the rest. You'll be advised not to fry things. If you see somebody that is healthy and moving and kicking around, 80, 90, something, please, no, he's not eating what you're eating. Nothing will make him eat it. Nothing. I'm just telling you. Eternity. He portrays for us something beautiful. But we throw it aside and look as if Jesus Christ didn't do anything. And many times, because we do not know. But now I'm telling you, you are dead to sin. He did that one for you. Next verse. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. You know what I'm talking about? Your mortal body. This is your mortal body. That ye should obey it in the Lord's thereof. So if he comes and does all that, you don't obey it. Let not sin. What? Come on. What's the word there? Therefore. Reign in your mortal bodies. That ye should obey it in his lust thereof. Comes off with all that lust. Why? Go to the previous verse. That's why it says therefore again. You see, it's therefore in this verse. So go and read chapter 6. Reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Next verse. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey its laws thereof. Next verse. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. It's talking about your bodies. When I say your members, it's talking about your bodies. Right? Next verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? You are not in that under law. You are under grace. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Are we still here?
Yes,
I will stop here. I'll pick up from verse 14. I will have to do an intro and then pick up. When I say I'll pick up, it doesn't mean when I just come, praise the Lord, because people will hold me on that. But I'm trying to say that I will pick up on this verse. We'll talk about this next week. But it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Forget all the Greek and Hebrew. Can you, are you here with me? I want to do one small work. I'm gone, totally gone. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For now, just help me. Live for ye are not under law. But, right? Under grace. Just take only under grace. Under grace. So I want to show you grace. I want to show you grace. Grace, that everybody say, Pastor, you're not teaching grace. I want to show you grace. For sin shall not have dominion over you, because you are under grace. So anybody that is truly under grace Come on. You think, have you gotten that now? For sin shall not have dominion over you. So whenever there is grace, actually, the dominion of sin is broken. You didn't get that. You are under grace. And because you are under grace, it says the dominion of sin is not there. So, Pastor, sometimes in my mind, these thoughts are there. Pastor, I don't even know when it used to start. Paul is saying it is actually impossible. Because once you are under grace, the dominion of sin does not cover you anymore. So grace does not now means that we are able to sin and go free. Grace means that we are not even in the same jurisdiction with sin at all. Oh, I say, so Pastor, there's still sin in me. I know. Next week I'll come and talk some more. I should let this matter rest. Pastor, let this matter rest. Pastor, let this matter rest. I won't let it rest. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help somebody. So by the course of this teaching, by the time we are done, we brought in something new into the body of Christ. Something sweet and something powerful. And you understand the grace that you have received. In the grace that you have received, sin does not even come near the door. So it cannot even, the lust that comes to your body, you say it's a lie. It's a big, big lie. And not even under his dominion at all. We don't even have any relationship. Remember, we are talking about death to sin. Dominion. When the man dead to sin, no dominion, he doesn't have dominion again in that direction. He has now moved in another direction. So he can't come. He can't come. When the Apostle Paul gave the example in Romans chapter 7, he says, you know that a woman who is married to a husband cannot marry another one. He said, the law will never agree. The law will say, you have to actually divorce this one and go there. But what happened? He didn't kill the man. No. It's not the man. If you read carefully, you have to read carefully. It's not the man. It's not if the man dies, actually. It's if she dies. If she dies. That's what the death of Jesus Christ does. If she dies. Then when he dies, then actually you are now free to go on. It's a play of words. We might look at it. I don't know if we'll get there. I've studied it. So the idea is that now I am dead. You can't come and meet me and say, you are my wife. Me and you have which business? It's not me. If any man be in Christ, it's a what? New creation. This creation does not have any business with you. It's not me. So when he comes, he says, it's not me. He says, it's there. He says, it was used to be there. Before I gave my life to Christ, I used to steal, right? Now that I'm in Christ, it's not me. That thing that you say is still there, it's not there again. Why? The one that used to do that thing has what? Died. This one is altogether new. Do you understand that? We'll get it. That's the only way you can actually now have another life. If not, it's not possible. The law is still there. That's why you will see your interpretation will be wrong if you don't understand. It's still there. It didn't die. It is you that died. I have died to the law. I'm there and the law don't have any business again. Right? I want to show you one scripture and I'll go. I promise I'm going. Ephesians chapter number 4. Let him that stole steal no more. Put that scripture up for me. I hope somebody got something today.
Yes,
are you sure?
Yes,
Ephesians chapter number 4. It should be in. I can check it. I can just check it there. Can you get it? I want to show you something. I want to show you how Paul talks. Ephesians 4:28. I just got it there yesterday. Let him that stole steal no more. You see what Paul is saying there? I like that word. Very, I like it so well. I always speak from it. Paul says, let him that stole steal no more. He said, you should try. He said, don't do it. Don't waste your time. Let him that stole steal no more. They're not going to call the man in a circle and pray for him. They're not going to. He's filled with the Holy Ghost, most likely. Not going to do much. But if he steals, if he used to steal, let him steal no more. How? It is these principles I'm talking about. I do not steal. I cannot steal. But rather let him labor with working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it. You see that? Paul doesn't say the man should try. He says, let him that stole steal no more. Anything you want to put there. Let him that is always angry. Someone said, anger is inside me. Anger is in your flesh. Right? Say, my own problem is anger. Let him that is angry, and let him not be angry anymore. Let the peace and joy and love of Christ be inside of him. Simple. Come on. Let him that fights, fight no more. Finish. That's how Paul talks about it. Because of Jesus Christ. We are alive to God. The life and nature of God is in you. Just stop it. Simple and short. Just say no. Just say no. You don't have this thing. You don't have dominion over me. Just say no. Finish. Because of Jesus Christ. Don't try to say no. Just say no because of Jesus Christ. Say no because you are dead to sin. Say no because that nature is no longer actually your nature. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We can shout, if any man be in Christ, a new creation. Shout it now. I'm a new creation. That creation that used to do that thing that time. The man died. He said, no, it's me and you that used to go to that hotel. Sister, the man died. He said, no, you're not the one here. He said, when Jesus Christ died, I died with him. That me died. He said, it's a new creation. He does not do it anymore. Is that easy? By the power of the cross of Jesus Christ, that is. How did you get saved? Did you work hard to get saved? Was it not easy? How did you become a child of God? See, it's not easy to be a child of God. You have to work hard to be a child of God. You didn't work hard now. You just received it, Abby, because of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why this one too is easy. The way you are looking at me, I'll continue preaching this message. I won't go. This thing is easy. When you say, you overcome sin? Yes. Like that. Do it. The same thing. Sin has just been mumuing you since. For no good reason. Just say no. Just say you call Jesus Christ. Just say no. I mean, you stand and say no, you'll be amazed. The power that will rush in front of you. You'll be amazed. Just say no. No, I don't do that. Say it. I mean, you can say it for me. Just say no, I don't do that. The man is dead. This is a new man. Jesus Christ. Just mention Jesus Christ. Let's see whether the sin will be able to talk. Say no, I'm not dead. Say no. Oh, no. It's gone. I'm alive to God now. I'm not even responsive to it. Just start talking like that. It will just. This one don't know book. Pastor, yeah, don't teach him. Years back. If you continue living like that, after some time, you will not even. The urge will not even start urging. So just go. Are you here? Bow your heads. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Can you pray this morning? Can you pray this morning and say, the power of sin is broken. I'm alive to God. I'm dead to sin. Anger, bitterness, lustful thoughts, whatever it is reigning in your body that is not of Jesus Christ, that doesn't speak of the newness of life in you. You say, no, from today, in the name of Jesus. If somehow you still involved sexual sins, there's this boy, there's this girl, there's this place I go to, there's this site I turn to, there's this, especially those addictions. You say, today, in the name of Jesus, I am dead to it. I know now, I see now that I am alive to God. I want you to speak against that nature and say, it's just trying to be up there. It's not really there. You are dead to it. I say, no. I can. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Through Christ. I live above sin. I'm not even under the dominion of sin. I'm not even under the dominion of sin. Why? I'm under grace. So, those things in the flesh, they are gone. In the name of Jesus. That filthiness is gone. That filthiness in the tongue, you just speak out of place and speak dirty things out of your mouth. Today, by the power of God, I say it is gone. By the power of Christ, I say it is gone. Yes. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So that sin, you cannot dwell there. Today again, by the power of God, I say it is gone. It is gone. The power of God is working, is working, is working from your flesh. It's working from your spirit into your mind and into your bodies now. In the name of Jesus. It's working from your spirit into your mind and into your bodies now. In the name of Jesus. There's that boy or that girl you are having that sexual relationship with. He said today, he said it is gone. I'm no longer doing that. Test that person. I'm no longer doing that. That I have the life of God inside of me. Zoe is in me. And that thing is gone. That thing me and you had is gone. Jesus has forgiven us. He has punished us sins. We are dead to sin. We cannot be doing this anymore. We cannot be doing this anymore. You say it is gone. Today, by the power of the word of God, by the grace in the word of God, I resist you now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, you called me and gave me your word to give to your people. And then grace in your word. By the power of the grace in your word, today I break that hold of sin in their lives in the name of Jesus. Because of Jesus Christ, they are free. They live outside of sin. They are dead to sin in the name of Jesus. That is sinful habit. That thing, that sinful nature, that sin nature in them, it is broken by the power of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus Christ died and because he rose again, they live above sin. They are dead to sin in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Sinful habits, addictions, they are broken today by the power of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. By the power of his death and the resurrection. Because he died and he rose again, they are justified. They are free from sin. They do not live in sin anymore. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. They will be able to face maybe a partner in sin and say no, this thing stops. They have the boldness now, the power now, in the name of Jesus. They will send that message and they are destroying those things now by the power of the cross in the name of Jesus. Father, I believe in your cross. I believe in the cross of Jesus Christ. I believe in your resurrection. I know that in your resurrection and in your cross that there was healing. I know that there is destruction, there's salvation from poverty, and the power of the devil has been destroyed. I know also that by your cross the power of sin has been broken. Today I declare that victory in their lives in the name of Jesus. Total victory in the name of Jesus. I declare that victory in their minds in the name of Jesus. I believe in the cross. Because Jesus Christ, because you died and you rose again from the dead, you gave us total power over sin, sickness, self. Today, that power of the cross is manifest in their lives. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Today, they are free. They are free from the destruction of sin. They are free from the destruction of self. They are free from the destruction of Satan. Because of your cross. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I see you on the cross. I see you buried and I see you risen again. Thank you, Father, for power. Today, by the power invested in me, I speak your word over them. They live a pure, a holy life in the name of Jesus. Sins are purged by the power of your cross, by the power of your death and resurrection. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That passion, that hunger, that passion, that hunger for sin is not even there again from today. In the name of Jesus. I said that passion, that you say it's more just there. It is not even there from today. From my back, as I speak it now, it dies now. In the name of Jesus. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Just be where I speak against sickness and poverty and disease in their lives. In the name of Jesus, let sickness die now.
Amen.
Let that pain disappear now.
Amen.
Let that swelling disappear.
Amen.
I'm saying cancer don't have power anymore.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Anxiety and fear gone now. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Newness of life. Spirit, soul, and body. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.